I'm Kate Remington, and today I'm talking with Connie Chase. She's the director of the Connecticut Chamber Choir, and they're presenting a concert on Sunday afternoon, January 12th at 4 at St. Teresa Church in Trumbull. The program features favorites from Mozart and Fauré and some unusual pieces as well. And Connie, welcome. It's so nice to have a chance to talk with you.
Thanks, Kate. I'm delighted to be here on this very cold afternoon.
Well, the music will warm everybody up,
yes.
I'm sure. You've really chosen some wonderful, unusual pieces, and it just really illustrates the broad range of what a chorus can do, what a chorus is capable of.
Thank you. You're right. There is an incredible range. We started, every program needs to have, kind of begins its life around a central theme or a central work, and I chose the Schubert Mass in G, and then began branching out from there, looking for other works scored for chorus and string orchestra and organ rather than full orchestra. And we added some really remarkable pieces.
Well, I think what's so nice about that combination of string orchestra and chorus is that because the chamber choir is obviously smaller
yes.
forces, you'd get kind of lost with a great big
exactly.
orchestra.
Exactly. So. Exactly. We choose repertoire carefully, repertoire that is intended for smaller forces. It brings about a certain intimacy and a lovely range of expression that pulls an audience in.
Well, one of the most interesting pieces, I think, is the Elegiac Song by Beethoven, because he originally wrote that for just a string quartet and chorus.
He did. He did that. I was thinking this morning in thinking ahead of this interview, contemplating the pieces, it seems as though they can all fit into a category of either first, last, or only in one way or another. And this piece of Beethoven's falls into the only category. It is Beethoven's only contribution to the secular part song genre that, of course, was so hugely popular in 19th century Vienna. And so at the time it was written, it would have been sung by a quartet of soloists, either, accomplished musicians at home or perhaps professionals in an evening salon, and a string quartet or even a piano. But as is modern practice, we can expand that and fill out the strings a little bit more and bring in the chamber choir.
Well, it really illustrates, again, how much music making there must have been by amateurs
yes.
and in the home. And clearly, since if you wanted
yes.
music, you had to make it yourself. And
that's
so a lot
right.
Of,
and that was such a golden period for music making, reaching into a middle class mm-hmm. in the home.
Well, you've also chosen a sacred song by Brahms. And I have to say, Brahms writing for chorus from the German Requiem right down
yes.
to the smaller works that he's written, it just gets me every time. And I can't explain it, but it's just you want to kind of climb inside it and wrap it around you.
That's a very apt expression for that. And that piece falls into the first category. To hear it, you experience it as fully mature Brahms. And yet, believe it or not, Geistliches Lied, Opus 30, was his very first choral composition. Unbelievable, isn't it? It's a motet. It's a strict double canon at the interval of the ninth. And it produces such soaring harmonies. It talks a little bit about despair, but the amen that comes at the end as a coda almost, is just so transcendent that it leaves you in a spirit of rejoicing.
You know, I'm always astonished. I've talked with many, many composers about where their music comes from. And everybody has their music comes from a different place.
Yes.
But I just can't even imagine being Brahms and writing this
yes.
gorgeous music and kind of, I don't know, disassociating yourself from what's on the page almost so you can get this canon worked out.
Yes. You would, as trained musicians, we so appreciate the beauty of the technique, and yet it's when that all falls into place that something much greater results.
It's really incredible.
Yeah.
And another work that you're sharing on the program is also a work of a young composer, Gabriel Fauré.
Yes.
Was just 19 when he wrote his Cantique de Jean Racine.
He was. Yeah, he won first prize for it.
It's a remarkable work. And I think it's if someone is not all that familiar with the genre of choral music, they know that piece because
you
it
know,
gets played
you're
so
right.
often.
You are right about that. It's probably one of the most beloved pieces in choral repertoire, and it's certainly one of the most frequently performed sacred pieces of the Romantic time. No doubt about that.
It's an astonishing work. And then there's the Mozart Ave Verum Corpus,
yes.
which for its brevity is just incredibly action-packed and uplifting.
Oh, it is.
And to kind of round things out, kind of, well, change the direction just a little bit, you've also programmed a sonata for the organ by C.P.E. Bach.
We have. We are so pleased to have Frank Zeligny on board with Connecticut Chamber Choir this year as our new accompanist and rehearsal assistant. Frank is a fine organist, concert artist. We're fortunate to have him in our area as the new director of music at St. Mary's Church in Milford, and we were looking for an opportunity to showcase him. He suggested the C.P.E. Bach Sonata for Organ in A Major. It is light, clear, virtuosic, just a delight to hear.
It's a wonderful piece because you can just tell that C.P.E. Bach took what he learned from his dad in organ music, and yet he took it like another step further.
He does take it in a slightly different step. It has, well, that joyful quality that, of course, J.S. Bach has as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like it's going to be an absolutely wonderful concert, and I should say congratulations as well, because this is the 36th season for the choir, which
is
remarkable.
We're so pleased. We've got an outstanding group of singers. The soloists, I should say, quickly, are from among our own members, and we're delighted about that as well. Beverly Blanchard, a very well-known soprano in our part of the state. Roy Mazzacane is our tenor soloist. Roy is a colleague of mine on the voice faculty, applied voice faculty at Western Connecticut State University, and very fine actor and singer. Spent time with Connecticut Opera and has quite a resume as a performer. And our bass soloist is Terrence Wu, who has been a member of this organization for many years, a Trumbull native, went off to University of Michigan trying to make a decision between music and science. He chose science, but he went to University of Michigan so that he could pursue both passions as far as possible. And so while he's now a research scientist in biochemistry at Yale, he has a beautiful bass voice, and as a matter of fact, while he was at University of Michigan singing in the choral groups there, he had the opportunity to sing under Gustav Meyer, who was on the conducting faculty there.
Wow.
So lovely.
Yeah,
way to come full
nice
circle.
Connection, definitely.
Yes.
So, well, Connie, thank you again so much for spending some time with us and talking about the concert.
Thank you, Kate. We hope everyone will come out and enjoy a wonderful afternoon of sublime music.